The Sean Green Show. Sean covers all things entertainment. Movies, books, news, concerts, television, video games, the entertainment guru. Sean covers it all. This is the Sean Green Show podcast. The Sean Green Show podcast on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.
Welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there that's listening. Hey, make sure you check out SeanGreenShow.com. Yes, that is SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest news, interviews, and podcasts are up at SeanGreenShow.com. Also, check me out on WGNPlus.com. Only the hottest podcasts go up on WGNPlus.com. And check me out on Facebook is Sean Green Show Media. And on Twitter is at Sean Green Show if you want to check me out on Twitter. Day before Thanksgiving, I know you guys are traveling in your cars and doing whatever you need to do to get ready for Thanksgiving. But I wanted to talk to a good friend of mine, comedian, actor, Jay Washington. The dude is up and coming, and you better watch out for him. If you've seen the latest movie, Chi-Raq, by Spike Lee, you may caught a glimpse of him in the movies. And he joins me right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, man? Thank you for having me. It's more than a glimpse. Let me say this. I need to play Wesley Snipes' right hand, man, so I am there.
Oh, yeah. You know, some people be like, man, I was in the movie, and you be like, all right, I'm going to go see my boys in the movie. And then, you know, he's like in a far corner behind the policeman somewhere behind the tape.
It was 30-something people. I knew they was like, yeah, I was in Chi-Raq. I was like, for real, doing what? Man, I was sitting in the church. I was like, you do realize that don't count at all.
So tell me, how did that role, how did you come about getting the role in the movie, by the way?
So I before I moved to Los Angeles, I was in Chicago. I had an agent who sent me out on auditions and everything normally. So one day I got a call from my agent, and he was like, yeah, I got an audition for you. It's the worst kept secret ever. It's the Spike Lee movie. So I was like, all right, whatever, cool, I'll go. And so I go, and I'm thinking I'm about to end an audition with just a regular casting director like normal. And we're at the Black Ensemble Theater up north. I'll never forget. And I get there, and I start seeing different people I know throughout Chicago. I saw Val Warner there and things like that. Then all of a sudden, out of the room, here comes Spike Lee. I was like, oh, okay, so he's here. No point in getting nervous now.
Right.
I was like, oh, he's really here. So I go in. I have Spike my headshot and my resume. And on my headshot, it says comedian and actor Jay Washington. He was like, you're a comic, huh? I was like, yeah. He was like, are you funny? I was like, my schedule say so. He was like, well, I know a lot of people with a busy schedule is not funny. I said, well, they ain't me.
and from there,
I auditioned. Then I did the scene with the casting director, and then Spike was like, yo, so what are you doing for the summer? I was like, I'm here. He's like, are you on tour or anything? I'm like, I'm here. So I walked out, and I was like, yo, I'm like 96% sure I just booked a role in the Spike Lee movie.
Wow. And the rest is history at that point, because, I mean, it's like you just, you know, blowing up at this point. And one of the things that people always ask me is, you know, especially people that want to be comedians, and, you know, I'm not a comedian. I think I'm funny, like, when I'm talking to my friends, but to get up in front of a crowd that you don't know on a daily basis and to get laughter out of them takes a special talent that you have. I mean, how does one get into that? Do you have a writer? Do you write all your own material? How does all that work?
So I'm not rich enough to afford a writer, so I write everything myself. Everything I talk about on stage is me based on my real-life experiences, everything I've gone through. But I'm on stage, personally, I'm on stage about four to six nights a week, sometimes seven nights a week. So I'm constantly on stage, constantly working out jokes, constantly saying, oh, this part wasn't funny, but this part was. Let me change this part around, and just constantly doing that over and over again.
Yeah, and one thing about being a comedian now, especially in the age of, you know, Facebook Live and Instagram and all this other stuff, man, you gotta deal with the hecklers, and you have to deal with people just recording all your material and it getting out before it can even be, you know, perfected, you know. So, I mean, how do you deal with that as a comedian? Because I know, with me, if I was a comedian, I would be like, you can't bring any phones to my show period, you know, and that's how I would do it.
That's the big thing now, especially after the whole Bill Cosby situation with Hannibal Buress, the whole Dave Chappelle thing. These bigger comedians now are getting these companies to invest in these lock boxes for your phone. It's hard. They're supposed to be like whatever room comedy is being done in, whether it's a club or a bar, they're supposed to have somebody that's policing the room per se to be like, yo, put your phone down.
Right.
Like, don't, you don't keep your phone out, you got to go. Plain and simple. Because, yeah, sometimes things aren't done yet. And as a comic, we don't want something out that's not finished. Everybody's like, oh, that sucks. Yeah, because I ain't fully worked it out yet. Calm down.
Right. So, I mean, with that being said, there's also the whole heckler epidemic now. Everybody wants to be seen and heard, or they think they're the, you know, they're supposed to be funnier than you, but they paid to come see you. So, as a comedian, how do you handle that?
So, it's different for me because I'm a big black dude. So, I'm automatically going to be thought of as just being really mean and aggressive sometimes. So, what I do is, when a person tries to heckle me, the first thing I tell them is, I have a microphone, you don't. You will not out-talk me. So then I have little steps. I say, sir, here's the second warning. You can either enjoy the show or be the show. If you decide to be the show, you're not going to like the show.
Right.
My third and final warning is, if you keep talking, I'm going to talk about you in every letter of the alphabet from A to Z and promise you I won't stop.
and have you had anybody like that?
Absolutely, man. I was in Oswego, Illinois. And this dude thought he was going to test me, and I started going down the alphabet on him and got to the letter L, and he was ready to fight. I was like, no, let him go. He wanted all of this. He wanted every bit of it. And they were like, yo, how do you do it off the top of your head? And I'm like, that's one of my God-given talents, to be quick with it so I can just adapt to anything almost.
Now, one of the things that I didn't know about you, Jay, was that like you're huge into wrestling, man, and I did not know that.
You didn't know I used to be a pro wrestler for 15 years, man.
Man, dude, I was like, I was big into wrestling back, you know, back in the 90s, early 2000s, and to me, I felt like it fell off, and it's starting to pick up again now. But, you know, nothing beats like that early 90s to 2000s with me. And
that attitude era.
Yeah, man. And so now it's starting to pick back up, and I'm trying my hardest to get back into it. What's your advice to get me back into wrestling, man? Because I see a lot of new faces out here now. I can't
have
tell.
Have an open mind. And that's exactly it. Have an open mind. It's a lot of everybody that people grew up with, pretty much knowing and loving, are getting older, so no longer they can be in the ring. So you have to have a new generation. And now there's a new batch of stars that are out who, if the public gives them a great shot, they'll be highly entertained by them. Now, I know personally I may sound biased because a lot of dudes that are currently on the WWE roster are actual personal friends of mine. I've worked with them over the years, and I know what they bring to the table. But I also know these guys bust their behinds every night to put on, like, five-star matches, give great promos. They work at the craft. So with somebody who hasn't been into it, I say, look, check it out with an open mind. Yeah, you're going to see a few things you may not like. You're going to see a lot of stuff you do like, but that's with anything. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how I am. I still watch it and be like, they keep doing this, man. You know, like, who was smoking in the back and said this would be a good idea?
Right.
You gotta have an open mind and realize, oh, some things leading up to some bigger things later on down the line. It's not all just one stop, here it is.
Right, and even like with the Hulk Hogan whole, like the Gawker thing, I'm quite sure you're familiar with the Hulk Hogan Gawker thing.
Unfortunately. Like,
that made me look at Hulk Hogan a whole different way, man, especially after seeing that tape. I was like, I couldn't process Hulk Hogan anymore after that, you know, and even after he sued and won, I mean, the dude, I mean, I can't look at him the same way, man. And
the dude that all of us as kids idolized, yo, he was our icon. He told us to train, said prayers, eat a vitamins, and we found out he was calling us the N-word behind his back.
Right.
But then as you get older, you're like, oh, he's from Tampa, Florida. It's expected, and it's unfortunate, but that's what happens. You know, he says that, we know it, but it doesn't make me respect him still. I have a less level of respect because I know you're brazen and brash with it now. You know what I'm saying? I know you had no remorse. And then to find out how you felt with your daughter dating a black dude, if he was a rich one. Like, yo, man, you better quit playing. Your daughter can be out here in one of these World Star Hip Hop porn videos.
Right. Now, let me switch gears here, and I got to ask you about this because it's in recent news. Kanye West, man, the dude, you know, he's checked in to UCLA, possible mental breakdown. What's your whole take on that? Because I've did two things when I've, you know, when I first heard the rant, I listened to it once and then I listened to it again. And I still, you know, as somebody listening to it, when you hear Ye like just going at it, it's kind of incoherent because he's yelling and he's screaming at the top of his lungs. But then I believe it was Ebony Magazine. They printed the transcript of his rant. And I kind of understood it after the fact. But, I mean, what's your take on it when you first heard about it?
Well, you know what? I've been saying this one thing about Ye for years. Ye has never fully grieved the loss of his mother. And as a dude who's lost his mom, you have to take that time to grieve. Kanye has never stopped. Once his mother passed, if we really pay attention, he went into overdrive working. He never stopped. He was always involved in something, even now as a family man, but he's never taken the time to grieve. So think about it. This just happened on the week of the anniversary of his mother's death. So, of course, it keeps hitting him. I think he needs to sit down. He needs to take a break, let himself finally grieve that. Because once he grieves that, he'll be able to process everything else. Because I believe, personally, him grieving that, not grieving that, has blocked him from a lot of other things, seeing it how it should be. Now, granted, yeah, he feels like some people should talk to him and this, that, and the third. But Kanye's always had that ego, no matter what. Even before he was on, he always had an ego. For those from Chicago who know about him, you know what I'm saying? But he's got to start with step one, and I think it's grieving the death of his mother officially. Sitting there and coming to grips with it. I don't think he's done that. Also, it's a stigma in the black community, and especially with black men.
Yeah.
Kid Cudi brought it out. He needs to address his depression.
Yeah, because
he needs to address it.
Yeah, because there are a lot of people, especially in the hood, that just, you know, they have real mental issues, but just don't get the help because they feel like they should, you know, it's one of those things like if I get help, then I'm going to be looked at as slow.
Yeah.
Or,
no, the hood talks it up as, yo, you not ain't nothing wrong with you. Snap out of that, or don't go and play on it. And I can say this as a dude who moved across the country and recently battled depression heavily. It's real. You know what I'm saying? You go through those moments where you don't want to do anything. You just want to stay in bed. Nothing motivates you. Your own levels of encouragement are gone, and you can't snap out of it. It's a chemical imbalance. You have to deal with that. You have to talk to people about that. And I think we need to start breaking that stigma automatically.
So, I mean, so you going through it, I mean, how did you begin that process to bring yourself out of depression as an up-and-coming star?
Well, it's hard because you have to have two different personalities. You have to be the public spotlight Jay Washington and the private one. And the private one is the one who is grateful for his friends that were around him. You know what I'm saying? His friends and family who were like, listen, you can't keep going like this trying to shake it off and just go on stage and perform it or go on a set and do what you do. So what I did was I actually started making phone calls. Like, yo, I started talking to people who I knew had battled it, who were people of color. I didn't want to just, I mean, no disrespect to anybody, but I didn't want to talk to somebody who wasn't fully going to understand what I was going through.
Right.
So I started talking to my black friends, male, female, my Latin friends and things like that, and they started giving me numbers to call, and I started making phone calls. I took that step on my own.
Wow. So, I mean, you know, on a lighter note with that, I mean, do you believe, and there's been a couple of websites, allhiphop.com is one of them, they noted the Kardashian curse. Do you believe in the Kardashian curse?
Hell yeah! I believe, to the fullest, and I believe that curse completely starts with the head witch herself, Kris Jenner.
Oh,
She's so busy trying to be an evil genius making money hand over fist any and every way she can. She doesn't care who she hurts in the process. As long as her kids are still making money and they have productive lives and herself, she doesn't care who falls by the wayside.
Think about it.
We turned Lamar Odom into crack and gas station blue pills. Do you not understand how bad that is?
I know, and that's what I was simply going through the whole list of men that have dated a Kardashian and like their current standing, and for the most part, you know, they're not in a good place. And that's weird, you know. And I don't know what to make of it. And it's like, if.
Bro, where's Chris Humphries? Ask that question. Where's Chris Humphries?
Right. There's no. I don't know what Chris. Do you know what Chris Humphries is? I don't know what Chris Humphries is.
Chris Humphries is somewhere holding himself with a Bible and a Barbie doll saying, show me where she touched you. Like doing that to himself. Because he screwed up dealing with that. And they turn people like, oh, no, they help make stars. They don't make stars, they make themselves stars.
Yeah,
and make themselves stars.
And I've known guys that be like, like, man, if I get famous, I gotta get a Kardashian. I'm like, I don't know if I want to mess with that. if I get to that level,
I'm good. I don't need that headache.
It'd be good to look at, but I don't know if I'm gonna deal with that.
Because your whole life has to change. Because now you, as even if you're famous, you're already in the public eye. But imagine that intensified times 12.
Yeah.
Because everything they do is scrutinized. Everything. And what if you don't want that type of life? Nah, I'm good. I'm straight. Nah, I'm God. You keep Kendall and Kylie to your damn self. I'm good.
Now, another thing about you, too, man, and this is from my boy Bang. He posted online. You're in a couple commercials, man, with some renowned people, man. I'm like, man, this dude is all over the place. I'm like, so, I mean, you got one with Snoop, and you got another one with Amy Schumer. I mean, what's going on with that, man?
Hey, man, I came out here to Los Angeles to work. That's where I'm at currently. And I never had saw myself as one of those dudes who came out here and be like, yo, let me enjoy L.A. Let me enjoy the sights and all the things I can do and partying and kicking it. My thing has always been hit the ground running and don't stop. So I got me a dope. I have an amazing agent out here who she's phenomenal. I always tell people she's like my genie in a bottle. And got a chance to audition for the thing for the Martha Snoop promo, and I didn't know it was going to involve me working with Snoop directly like that, and it did. And then the Old Navy thing has been just surreal, dude. I'm going to tell you something, first experience. Like, to be on everybody's TV every 15 minutes has been weird.
I know. I'm like, when Bang put it online, I'm like, man, what
Yeah,
the
I know heck? He did. I know that jerk did. Let me say this for the record real quick and clear the air with this. If anybody knows J.R. Bang, tell him to kiss my rear end. I love him to death like a brother. For people who know about us, we used to do Educated Insanity together. We had Laughing Insanity at Laugh Factory. But this is why I took a video of the commercial. Was like, get the hell off my TV. Don't hate.
Now, Jay, to that up-and-coming comedian, somebody that wants to get in your line of work, what...
Matter of fact, my commercial's on right now. I'm looking at it. I'm literally looking at the TV like, yo, I just keep seeing myself. I'm like, you know what? I can get used to this in life. But go ahead.
Now, to that up-and-coming comedian, somebody that's you know, they're not as, you know, they're not big, and they have that dream. What are the three things that you would tell them to do to jumpstart their career?
Number one, whatever your higher power you look to, keep faith in that first and foremost. Just know that they are the ones who's going to set the whole plan in motion for you. You may believe in God, you may believe in something else, but whatever it is, look to that first and foremost. Secondly, believe in yourself. Nobody else is going to believe in you more than you. Believe in yourself all the way through. And the third thing and the most important thing I will always say, fun comes later, work first.
Great.
Constantly keep working. Because everybody wants to, no, I'm doing, like, people in stand-up, I know, because we get to meet so many people we've been fans of for years, you know, growing up. And you get to meet them sometimes, work with them, and you're stuck being a fan. It's like, yo, put your fun to the side and work first and foremost. Work as hard as you can. And when you feel like you can't work any harder, work some more.
Yeah.
Just constantly keep working.
Yeah, I mean, and I found that, you know, with me being in radio, when I got a chance to meet people that I were big fans of, you know, one of the things that for me that, you know, like the minute you meet them, you may party with them a little bit and you're mm-hmm. not quite there yet. And some people, they figure, oh, I'm partying with so-and-so. I made it, so I don't need to work as hard anymore. And I think that gets kind of missed. You know, people forget that you're not there yet. You know, when you'll know when you're there, but you're not there.
Absolutely. I've been blessed. I always say this. I've been blessed with amazing opportunities thus far, and I see nothing but more opportunities coming as we go further. But I've been blessed to work with so many amazing people, hang out with them, kick it with them, have drinks with them, just conversation with them. And at the end of the day, they're still that star.
Yeah.
They're still that celebrity status. They have that already. Me, I have to keep working to reach that.
Right.
And that's what constantly keeps motivating me.
Right, right. So, what's next on the horizon for Jay Washington? What's up with that?
Man, right now it's been one of the biggest things is me pushing the Trusty Psychic podcast with myself and Bobby Hill. It's a podcast where we're two comedians and we talk about all the going ons in the Marvel and DC TV show and movie worlds, and it's opened up so many amazing doors. I've been on Screen Junkies like crazy, so it's just constantly getting Jay Washington's name out across the world. Like, I feel like I'm working heavy and people see me in the nation, but the world don't know my name yet. So that's the purpose.
Oh, man. And trust me, they're listening. Trust me, the people are starting to know you, man. And, many blessings to you, man. And,
thank you.
Man, make sure you have a happy Thanksgiving. And there you have it, folks. It's Jay Washington, actor, comedian. You can definitely check out his podcast, man. Check that out. Let me pull this up right here. I'm my computer's slow, man. It's the Trusty Sidekicks. It's the Trusty Sidekicks podcast. It's Jay Washington and Bobby Hill. Make sure you check that out. But also, go to jaywashington.com. Check out all the things that he's doing. If you haven't seen Chirac yet, he's in it. Make sure you check out Chirac. If you're on the West Coast, make sure you check out Jay Washington wherever he may be performing. And whenever you're back in Chicago, man, you got to make sure you come back to see me, man, in studio here at WGN.
Yes,
man.
Sir. I should be back roughly December. Then when after December, I'll be back roughly once every other month, depending on the schedule. So you definitely got me coming through it, bro.
All right, cool. And we'll be back right after this.
Thanks for listening to The Sean Green Show, the entertainment guru. You could friend him on Facebook, Sean Green Show Media, or follow him on Twitter, at Sean Green Show. The Sean Green Show on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.